podcasts. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's around each and every corner. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode 47. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Guys, it's been 11 days since we've recorded.
Did you see the twitch I have developed?
I'm having withdrawals.
Hey, brothers.
I don't know why we're doing this. I'm already went through withdrawal.
Yeah, exactly right.
11 days.
That's a long time.
Been a while.
Since we've gotten together, yeah.
I told Jenna, don't hold a stopwatch on me tonight because I'm going to need like this. And it's Sunday, right? So this is...
Yeah, so it's not just 11 days, but...
It's the Lord's Day.
That's right. A different day to record, which we've done two or three Sundays, but I don't think in a while.
Yeah.
So. It's been a minute.
I've had to change the schedule on these guys. They've been very flexible.
That's okay. So. Yeah, which we are not normally.
They're like, no.
Physically not flexible.
No.
No.
Scheduling, no problem.
I have to hold my breath to put my socks on. So.
And I'm going. Yeah.
But time, he gets it done every day.
It's time for a physical challenge.
Powers through it. Well, creepies, we're glad that you're joining us for another episode. We're excited to get together. Yeah, I was like, what are these things? And Nate said, oh, microphones.
And it goes, it goes in your face.
That's right. I knew these.
And now talk.
Yeah, yeah. Is that what we do? I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Oh, so everything going all right, guys? Had a good week so far? End of the week.
It's going well. I have a story, but I don't want to interrupt. Nate needs to tell us how he's doing first.
How am I doing?
Are you doing okay?
I guess.
Because I talk for you, right? Nate's doing fine.
The only bad thing is tomorrow's Monday.
Yeah. Who's off tomorrow? Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, right?
My wife and kids.
I'm not off, but I mean, I'm no more than normal.
I was going to say you're off, but I'm off.
Kids are off.
Yeah. So. And my wife's off.
Nate's not off.
Nope.
Because I can speak for Nate.
Yeah.
I already discussed this with Nate.
Yeah. I was like, oh, man. Yeah. I miss the days of the bank because I used to have all those days off. Columbus Day. Veterans Day, Martin Luther King Day, your socks day.
You miss holidays. I'm just glad to have Christmas Day off and Thanksgiving, things like that off half the time. But
that's good.
So my quick story, I promise to make it quick.
Yeah. Well,
is last Saturday, I guess, I was walking. It was when we had our first, it wasn't much snow.
Down the street.
We ended up having our first snow though, but we had ice last Saturday night. Not yesterday.
I was in it.
Were you in it? Jenna was heading home from work, and I had texted her and said, be careful driving home. It's getting icy. And it had been kind of like rainy before that, and then it was turning to ice, but there was like a block of, it said a half an hour, 45 minutes. So Jude, especially in the evenings after he eats, he has to take, and I call it affectionately, a poop walk. So I thought this is a perfect time to take Jude on a walk. So Jenna had told me back, like, you be careful. What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm walking Jude real quick. I'm fine. And I had slipped three times, but I'm like, I'm very graceful. So black ice out there, people, right? And so I was trying to get on the road where it didn't look slick. And then I was getting back on the sidewalk and then it gets slick. And so I was trying to figure out where to strategically go. And I'd gone a little too far. But I'd slipped three different times and Jude each time kind of like, what was that, Ed? What's wrong? What are you doing? And so on the way back, I actually had talked to Jenna again, and she's like, I said, I'm heading back. Don't worry. I'm fine. The first place that I had slipped, I was coming around this corner. It was actually right there, the entrance of our neighborhood. I fell. I slipped. My right foot went out so fast, I didn't even know what happened, but I had a big puffy coat on. And my first instinct, because I fell right on my elbow, even with that puffy coat, I had like a big scratch down my forearm, and I hurt my hip. I was so, and so I start laughing. Like, this is the first thing I started doing was just like busting up laughing. Nobody saw me. It's starting to like snow more, ice on me. And Jude, his instinct was to come over and lick me and kiss me.
Oh yeah, they do that.
And I got up and I go,
All right, Dan.
I must love you. And then I'm like, it's not your fault. But I kept thinking, he was thinking, Dad, get up. You're embarrassing me. Like, why don't you have four legs like me?
All the other dogs are looking, man.
So I called Jenna and I'm like, guess what? And she goes, you fell. And I go, I fell. that's my job, to teach people how not to fall. And I fell.
What was weird is when I got to my client's office, they have two steps off of the parking lot. And I was getting my equipment. Mm-hmm. And the first step was clear. Second step had the ice.
Oh.
And so you would think it would be even, right? Does it not mean?
Literally
from 5 inches up or whatever the step is. Yeah, so I almost bit it because the first step was fine. Then I'm thinking, you know, didn't, yeah. So I wasn't driving in the ice, but it had already been, it did what it did. So then,
I ran to the store right before it started freezing.
Yeah.
So then I came out of the store and it was just starting to freeze. So then by the time I got home, genius me, I wore my cowboy boots. So I stepped out of the car in the driveway and I was like, whoa, it's slick.
It is slick, yeah.
I didn't fall. I kept my wits about it, but
you got reflexes like a cat.
I knew not to venture outside with cowboy boots.
Like a ninja cat.
Now, driving home is a little tricky on I-70.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And then Ronald Reagan Parkway was a little weird. I know listeners are like, well, where is this? Yeah.
I told Jenna because I was like, are you okay? And she goes, I'm already home. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Make me look bad.
And my wife and son and daughter were at the Olivia's volleyball tournament in Louisville. They got 3 inches of snow.
Oh, wow.
So
that's what the next day when I went to work, I don't know how many people, like a lady when I first came on the unit, she was like, I got a question about my back. I'm like, let me guess, you fell. And she goes, I fell on the ice. And there was a countless number of people and patients and staff members, like almost everybody had their fall story.
Now, I hurt my back 2 weeks ago.
You hurt Mike back?
Hurt my back. No, hurt my back.
Tell Mike
back.
I said, I, no, it's
yeah. Hurt my back.
Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm fine now. But yeah, that. It wasn't anything.
Wasn't from a fall.
No, I was putting a glass up in the cabinet. Threw my back out.
I was blinked.
Yeah, I was in agony for a week.
Oh, yeah. I did check on him. I actually did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't
need anything. I was like, no, I'm good. I got a hot pad and some ibuprofen.
We have tons of modalities and all this stuff. And so I'm like, hey, come on over if you need any modalities because I got them. It's like, I remember a bucket of modalities.
It's funny that people do throw their backs out or hurt them, like,
oh, that's
coughing or sneezing and doing weird stuff like that. What I've done.
I'll hiccup and cough at the same time and throw my back
out. Oh, yeah.
I did it in
or
a kiddie.
Or getting it out of just a normal, like, you know. So,
I did it in a kiddie pool once. We were playing. The kids had
last
one.
Week.
It was last week. No, this is when we only had the two kids. It was our old house. And we had this big blow-up pool. It's pretty good size and had a slide in it. And so, of course, Jenna's like, be careful. You know, don't break yourself. And I'm like, honey. I slid across that stupid slide and fell over the inside of the grass, and I pulled my back up. Yeah. I was like, she's like, what'd I tell you? I'm like, I know, getting old.
Well, this just kind of goes with the name of the
middle-aged
podcast.
Yeah, it is true. So anyway, my little story, a little tangential.
Yeah. It is funny that when you know when somebody falls and you're like, are you okay? Yeah. And
but you're laughing.
But then you can't. It's like we're playing soccer. I don't know if it was. I think it was a year ago, Amy and I and Elijah in the front yard, and we were playing. Amy, we have a we had a tree removed, and so there's a little divot, and she hit it and twisted her. I mean, went down, twisted her ankle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh, honey, are you okay? And I couldn't help it. I tried to hold it
pain
in.
Pain is funny to other people, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I'm okay. She's like in agony, but I just start laughing. And she starts laughing. You can't help it.
No, it's funny.
It is. Liar's just like, ah. Oh, it's, yeah, good times. Because I've been there, and I, you know, anybody can laugh at me. So
yeah, it's funny.
If
my,
I don't laugh, if
it's
I don't
funny
fall.
That was my first instinct. It was just start busting out laughing at myself.
Oh, I know.
And then I did.
If you don't, you're going
to. I had the thought of, maybe I should just lay here. Maybe this is a good time to just.
Were you like.
The universe trying to tell me something.
Were you like in A Christmas Story? He lay there like a slug. It was only the fence.
Exactly, yes.
The little brother.
I shot my eye out. Oh, no, you're talking about when the
little brother falls or gets pushed.
Yes, right. No,
like,
that's
my brother lay there like a slug. Yeah. It was his only defense. And he's got that big puffy coat. Like, his mom's got him all bundled up.
That was kind of like that scene, yes.
Oh, well, we're glad everybody's
survived.
Here. Survived, yeah.
Welcome to winter, right?
Yeah, no kidding. So, Sean, Mr. Sean, what do you got to tell us here before we...
I have the first parts of the announcements.
Nice.
I want to mention that we have merch. We have merch of all kinds with our logo on it. I'm actually wearing one right now, sweatshirt. Todd said, where did you get that? And I was like, I emailed makeupodcast@gmail.com.
I didn't get it.
You did not, yeah. So actually, I stole this from Harrison. I borrowed it from Harrison. I've got we had two of them that he and Claire wear, actually.
Oh yeah, we had one of our creepies order a teal T-shirt and two stickers.
So. That's Nicole. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Nicole. Thank you for being so supportive. Yeah. We appreciate that.
I just got the email saying they are being shipped.
She's a nurse practitioner there. There's another nurse practitioner, Amy, who also talked to me about that. She's one of our listeners. She said, if nobody else is listening, I am. I like your content. I enjoy you guys.
Very nice.
And she's interactive on our page. And so I appreciate that. Thank you, well, thank Nicole, you Nicole and Amy.
Yeah, thank you.
So, yes, we have merch. Yep.
So we also, I know we've been riding this horse for a while, but we're going to keep riding this horse about mentioning that we'd like you to rate and review. It really does help. Spotify now has ratings. Actually, I keep forgetting that. And so I was like, oh, shoot, I need to rate on Spotify. So you can do that, too. We also mentioned things like word of mouth. You know, tell other people about our show. We appreciate you guys when you come up and tell us that you enjoy it. But actually, rating and review really does help the show. The other thing we want to talk about, and one of the most important things of this show that we can do, you know, we're talking about the creepy stuff, we're talking about scary stuff, we're having fun, having guy time, but we also want to make this a mental health community and spotlight talking about getting help. Oh my gosh, am I going to start this way?
We're going to
get health. There we go. Get healthy.
Make a healthy. He needs all the health he can get.
Please get help. And
are you sure you didn't hit your head with
mental health? I may or may not have. I wasn't going to tell that part of the story. So anyway, please get help. I need it. So we get about the numbers. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline is 1-800-662-4357, the last one that's help. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline and Veterans Crisis Line. It's also a bullying awareness hotline on mm-hmm. top of that same number. 1-800-273-8255, the last one that's talk. And speaking about bullying, we also there's a government website that you can go to for bullying. It's called stopbullying.gov. Yeah. That's something else we wanted to start making awareness about.
I hate bullies.
Yeah.
And drives me nuts. And I watched a show, something about there was a bully situation, and that made me think about, you know what, we need to add that.
It is. And there's an abundance of bullies. So that's something you're always going to – I call it – when I tell the kids, I may – say a-hole, but there's always going to be bullies out there. Yeah, let's call them bullies.
I don't like them.
And the world, you have to understand and know how to deal with bullies. Again, we'll call them bullies. The world, there's an abundance of them.
And so I call them out, too. I love
running don't take a bully. Them, you don't have to take them out.
Bullies don't like that.
No.
So, no. And if you're a bully out there, knock it off, because we will come and beat you up. No, I'm kidding.
I'm sorry.
We know our creepies aren't.
Conform. No,
Nate, stop bullying me.
Call one of these numbers and get help.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you call them up. You're like, I need help with bullying. Oh, you being bullied? No, I'm a bully.
I'm trying to quit.
Okay, let's help you.
I got a 3-kid habit.
3-kid a day.
Yeah.
But seriously, it is something that we want to make sure, and that's going to be part of our spotlight on awareness.
Don't be part of the problem.
Don't be part of the problem. Yeah, no.
No, like I said, we'll come beat you up. We'll have Sam. He'll
Sam.
Come.
Where are you, Sam?
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah.
He says, oh, man, come on. Anyway, thank you for that, Mr. Sean.
No problem. My pleasure.
I'm going to mention, I will until the time comes, that we are part of the Hillbilly Horror Stories live event, or the live show here in Indianapolis.
Whoop, whoop.
It is July 16th from 6 to 10. You can get your tickets by going to the Hillbilly Horror Stories website, and then there is a little tab, I think it says shows or live mm-hmm. shows, and then click on that, and it takes you to the Eventbrite that's who he uses, the company, mm-hmm. For his shows. Yeah, and then just, I think, $20, I think, is the ticket prices. They are on sale now.
Very reasonable.
So we are very, very excited to be asked by Jerry and Tracy of Hillbilly Horror Stories. They're the host show, obviously, and then we are with the Tragedy of Cinema podcast. So, yeah, and they're
guys,
local here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So get your tickets. I know you have time, but I'll mention it, until the show comes. And we would love to meet all the listeners in person, you know.
That would be so much
fun. Follow our
show,
The Tragedy of Cinema and Hillbilly Horror Stories. Yeah, it'd be fun. So, and I just want to sign an autograph. That's basically
You
know, that's all I care about.
We have already Sandy Brown. She.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
That was our first. We want to do our second.
That's right. No, we do. We want to meet everybody.
Shout out to Sandy out there, right?
Yeah, that's right. Hi, Sandy. And then we have, when was that we started? About 2-3 episodes ago? The segment sponsor,
mm-hmm.
podcast segment sponsor,
yep.
And we are going to have the middle age moment.
Yes.
You can sponsor that, or when we have a guest chat.
Mm-hmm.
you can sponsor that. It's yeah. So just email us or message us on Instagram if you're interested and you want to find out details. We had Dr. Brian Jackson of, was it Plainfield Chiropractic?
Uh-huh.
He was our first one. He sponsored, the one we're going to talk about. This is the second one. Yeah.
Yeah, this will be the second one. And the first one he had said when I talked to
him. Which one was that? Stonehenge?
Stonehenge.
Okay, yeah.
And he didn't know. He didn't actually, he's just like the next two episodes you do or record. And he's like, now, wait a minute. I'll be your first sponsor ever on this show. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I'm in. He's like,
we had a really
gentleman's,
into it.
Gentleman's handshake.
Well, twist arm.
I told him there's no contracts or anything. And then I said, well, maybe a blood contract. And he goes, he started laughing. And I said, that's how they got me on the show.
That's right. Yeah. I think that's how I got on the show.
Do.
Yeah. So, we're always looking for, so if you have a brick and mortar business, you have an e-commerce, Etsy.
Yep.
Yeah. Because we have listeners, U.S. and outside the U.S. and it hopefully maybe helps your business.
And more people are listening to us, so there's more and more ears out there to hear about your business.
Yeah. Right. It's $50 per segment sponsorship.
Very reasonable.
And there's no contract. Yeah. And like I said, email us or message us, and I can give you more details. We're always looking for new episode segment sponsors. And then the last thing I want to say is I found this podcast, a couple months ago maybe, and it's very, very good. It's called The Grim Dark Diaries, and it is Nikki and Megan.
Mm-hmm.
They're the co-hosts, and it's very, very good. They talk about a lot of creepy stuff, true crime, a lot of weird true stories.
I like it already.
Yeah. They do. They do a great job. It's very laid back, so they tell good stories. So we are going to run their promo for you guys. So here it is.
Welcome to The Grim Dark Diaries. We're a podcast hosted by two geek gal pals obsessed with true crime and all things dark and disturbing. We use our 20-sided die and love of Dungeons & Dragons to bring you a new theme every week, diving into lesser-known stories you probably haven't heard elsewhere. If you love true crime, spooky stories, or are just big Star Wars geeks like us, then we're the podcast for you. We're available on all major podcast platforms. Just search The Grim Dark Diaries. And remember, a friend in the dark beats alone in the light.
So that was the promo for The Grim Dark Diaries. So,
very cool.
Yeah. Go check them out. I listen to them on iTunes, and they have Instagram and Facebook and an email address. So I think it's The Grim Dark Diaries. Mm-hmm. podcast@gmail.com or it's thegrimdarkdiaries@gmail.com. I should have checked into that.
That's all right. Like, no, Todd, no.
Yeah, so it's a fun podcast. The ladies
that's
do a great
job. I like the name.
And they're based in Canada.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Check them out.
Yep.
Neighbors to the North,
that
right?
That is Nikki and Megan. Yeah.
Very cool.
So, Mr. Sean, I'm going to have you tell us what we're going to talk about.
Okay, now this is.
I'm not ready.
You're not ready? Oh, we better stop.
I'm scared.
I'm a little scared. I've been so excited about this one. I told that to Nate. I'm like, I can't wait to talk about this. We have postponed this at least two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying for the record. And it's because schedule stuff. But the problem is that we want to make sure that we put our time and effort into this, right? And we want to have the time to really cover this. So this is going to be a two-parter. This is the first part of it. And we are talking about the infamous Jack the Ripper.
Not Jack the Stripper.
Not Jack the Stripper.
And not
Jackie the Candy Striper.
And not Jack Tripper.
Not Jack Tripper. Not come and knock on our door. We were talking about all these, look up Jack the Ripper only. Don't look up those other ones there.
I mean, you can.
You might fall totally down different. Some wild rabbit holes.
Yeah. Jack the Ripper. Yeah.
Don't blame us if you do, right?
Yeah. This guy was, he wasn't nice like the other Jacks.
No. So I will lay a little foundation. Just give us a little push here off the cliff. Jack,
did you say it was Nate? That's Nate's.
I have not. Oh yeah, you were pointing to Nate. I was like, "What are you pointing to Nate for?"
Yeah,
this is Nate's pick. On
so I'm here.
Nate, yeah.
Hi.
Hey, I was just saying that's Nate.
Did you know we have a sound engineer? What's his name again? No, this is Nate's Jack? Pick. Nate the Ripper.
Nate the Ripper. That's what I do when Nate I have some chili.
Nate the Welder. Yeah, right. You got that all out of your system, yeah. Right? He's clear. okay, so Jack the Ripper was an unidentified. And oh my gosh, still unidentified technically, serial killer.
I know it.
Active in the largely impoverished areas in and around the Whitechapel district of London in 1888. Long time ago. In both the crime case files and contemporary journalistic accounts, the killer was called the Whitechapel Murderer and Leather Apron, which we were just talking about that, weren't we, Nate? So the Whitechapel Murderer, Leather Apron, the motives which this gives is the is unknown, but possible sexual sadism and or rage. Wow, how would you like to be known for that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, whatever, right?
Yeah, I think he's one of the characters of history that more or less everybody has heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
They know something about him and his doings, unless you live under a rock. But you know,
Or Iran.
Not judging.
Well, I mean, I do live under a rock, but I know about him.
But not Iran.
This guy, I like you said, Nate, I think everybody, no matter what age, I mean, I would say high 90s percent, everybody knows Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
And what he did. Yeah, what was it, 1888?
1888.
Isn't that crazy? And they still do not have the person identified.
So it was the fall of terror is what they call it, right? Mm-hmm. So from August of 1888 to November, so they just seemingly stopped after all, you know, but that didn't sound like very many months, but that was horrible, especially if you were a certain type of person to, you know, be hanging out.
Well, I mean, you could say it. I mean, he went up after prostitutes.
Well,
that's part of the story. That's who
there are at least five murders that are attributed to Jack the Ripper. Again, don't know who that is, but and they're called the canonical five.
Yeah, right.
As many as 11, right? Mm-hmm. And they're saying there could have been murders before and certainly after. And then there's theories that this could have been a lifetime of killings, or it could have been a short spree. Maybe this person died, you know, and that's why they stopped in November. So there's all kind of theories out there, which we going to cover in two different parts.
But these five women were most known, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, though, could have done it before or after, who knows.
And they were also closely, they were time-wise, chronologically, they were close together. Mm-hmm. And then the way that they were killed was very similar. Except for one that got just her throat slit, and they're not sure whether she's really part of it or not. But
I think that was the one they theorized that someone was coming across them.
Exactly.
So he had to leave.
So
hurry up and do it.
And within a half an hour or 45 minutes, there was another murder that was close to that, so that there was almost like he wasn't satisfied that he got almost caught.
He didn't get to finish his ritual.
Oh, my gosh.
Brutal. That's just brutal.
So that Jack the Ripper, of course, when we think of Jack the Ripper, you think of this dark, cloaked figure with a tall hat and a big blade. That's what I think of. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that.
Or a doctor's bag. A
doctor's bag with him, yes. I mean, so there's this, and that's historical for us, just because that's what has been painted for us, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how we see him. But it's a lot of how the police collected the information, mishandled some of it, obviously. But as they started figuring this out, they started trying to put this person together. And then there are supposedly some eyewitness accounts of what he might look like. So that's how they can put all that together. But the things that really put this picture together, or, you know, when you put everything together, is he has stealth, because obviously he had to be quick at this. He was precise. It looked like somebody that knew, either was from the medical field, potentially a butcher, they say, or maybe a barber. And somebody that had extreme cruelty, and they also assume was very intelligent, because some of it's made to look like he's stupid and just some kind of your typical, you know, uneducated criminal. But they're wondering whether that wasn't a put on for him.
Dumbed
it down.
He's
actually very intelligent. And that's part of the intelligence, is making himself look like he was stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Nate.
Oh, nothing. I was just saying he was dumbing stuff down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's very intelligent and knew what he was doing the whole time. And I've always leaned towards he had some type of medical knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to do what he did and get the heck out of there and not be caught.
Well, he knew what he was searching for.
Because he didn't hack him up. I mean, what he did was brutal, but it wasn't just totally... It was, like I said, it was precise. It was the way he went about it. But,
still wonder,
his knife, whatever.
There's that possibility that this was him just jumping into the killing game and then jumping out. Or I really do think that there's a great possibility that this was not his first. Like, the first killing was not necessarily his first. And maybe it was. But it was.
You may say of these five?
Of these five, it was, at least the way they see it. But I'm just saying that he had done other types of murders. But maybe this was his first one where he really kind of got into it. Like, this is, I'm putting my signature on how I murder people.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
How he, right.
So.
Or it might have been something got done wrong by a prostitute and angered him, or maybe came from a prostitute mother. And
right.
I mean,
there's some kind of hatred towards women or malice. Yeah. It appeared the way that he mutilated people. I mean, it just truly and targeted sexual organs.
Well, you know, they talk about like more recent serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them that I think the Green River Killer in state of Washington.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name offhand, but he killed, murdered a lot of prostitutes, or maybe they all were. He thought he was doing society a favor.
Yep.
Yeah. He looked like he was, or he thought of himself doing good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Killing, yeah, taking that. I mean, you know, these, think what you will. I mean, these are still, could be moms and daughters, yes, and sisters, right, you know, they're people, yeah, you know, and so just because of what they did is, you know, yeah, a little unsavory, but these are people. These are lives.
Human,
you know,
beings, right?
But he said that he thought, and so they've said that about the Jack the Ripper character. They're like, he might have thought, yeah, I'm doing
cleaning up the streets.
Cleaning up the streets, you right know. Well, and it was, you know, the East End slums, mm-hmm, of London. And
or I was thinking, like, you know, maybe he had a relationship with one and he was falling in love and it was just business for her and mm-hmm just got, yeah, angry and said, well, none of you.
Right.
It's possible.
So yeah, just, you don't, yeah, know.
They're all guilty.
Motives.
But yeah, yeah, they're all, right. I'm going to take it out on all of you because, yeah, I was done wrong. Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that he's one of the most infamous killers. So if you say, name a serial killer, a lot of people are going to say Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
The other one is the Zodiac Killer. One's English, yeah, one is American. Yeah, San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Never caught him. By all accounts, he should be dead by now, right? I mean, that was 50 some odd years ago. That was people in what, the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm, were scared to death to go out, especially couples and all that kind, mm-hmm, of stuff. But they say, you know, there's not very many killers that weren't figured out, but those are two big ones. So Jack the Ripper to be really the big daddy of them all. But if you think about it, so we're going back 1888. This is London at that time was the biggest city in the world. It was the most powerful. England, London, they were at their pinnacle. It had been Queen Victoria's 50 years in reigning, so there was that celebration of her being on the throne. So London in itself and England wanted to be touted as this, you know, elite place to come, but there was a huge class divide, you know. Mm-hmm. There's, like I said, the elite were, you know, wanted England to be seen one way, but on the West End and the East End, there was two different sides of London. So Whitechapel was in the East End and it was deplorable to say the least. Like, all, you know, it's, there's a lot of racism going on. There was a lot of fear of the different immigrants. There was a Jewish, you know, looking down on people that were Jewish. So that's gone throughout history, of course. Mm-hmm. But there was all these kind of things, that set the stage for this, you know. And they said, you know, if there was just one prostitute that would have been killed, murders on the East End of London were commonplace, or at least hearing somebody yell, "Murderer, I'm being murdered,"
yeah,
was a nightly occurrence. Now, yeah, did it always end in that? It was normally a fight or somebody, you know, getting in a scuffle. And they said a lot of people, there's a lot of alcoholism. There was a lot of addictions, you know, because people were in abject poverty. There were the workhouses, but the workhouses were basically like slavery. You, mm-hmm, weren't making enough money. You were being treated horribly. And if you couldn't hack it there, you were you're forced to live on the streets, being a prostitute or making money any way you could. And these prostitutes were just barely surviving. The first one to get killed, she had commented that she had made enough. They were trying to make money to be able to have a bed for the night.
Yeah, it was night to night.
It was, yeah, night to night.
Well, you know, and she talk about week to week. It was night to night.
She had, yeah, made enough money, she said, to have a bed three times over, but it spent it in alcohol, and that was the last time that her roommate, yeah, had heard her say that. And then later on, she got killed. So that's the kind of stage that we're setting here.
And, you know, and not just London or, you know, England, but sure, United States back then, it's so hard for women. I mean, men, mm-hmm, you know.
Because it's so easy. Like, your reputation was more than fragile.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But it was really hard for, I mean, most of, I would imagine, or well, I know it is, if somebody was on the street, it was probably a woman, you know, mm-hmm, and it was harder for them to make a living, to improve their life and prove themselves. You know, they're just not treated with any respect, basically, you know, yeah, and especially back then, that far back. Yeah, they were. They were just living, you know, doing what they could to, for that night. That's, yeah, terrible, you know,
day to day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that area of town, like you said, I mean, there's just fights and, you know, all kinds of robberies, and people are just trying to get over on each other.
Rough area.
Trying to survive for anybody, or even just for a man, too. You know, if you're caught up in that, you get caught up in it and you can't get out. You know, it's kind of like you just adapt to it.
Yeah, you get stuck.
Yeah, you get stuck in that area or that type of living.
The amount of money that they were making as prostitutes, they were only surviving day to day. They couldn't make enough to, you know, change their situation.
Right,
it's just to survive.
And just think how many they probably you know, they probably got stiffed and they probably not got their money, and you know, they probably got robbed of what they made just maybe an hour before, and terrible.
The one thing that they describe him as, a sadistic butcher, and there is even though they don't completely know the motive, but an abhorrence for the entire female gender. And I think that really speaks volumes there.
Yeah. What do you think about, like we were talking about, you know, could have been his mom could have been a prostitute. He could have gotten screwed over by one, or he just thought he was just going to help society and clean it up.
Yeah.
So if he hated women in general, well, that's another level then. That's not just prostitutes he hates or thinking he was trying to get rid of. It's the women, the female gender.
I think it's
maybe had a maybe had an abusive mom. Maybe he didn't have a mom. Maybe he had a, you know, I'm just saying that's just a different level other than just the prostitute aspect.
And like you got, what we're saying is that women were treated as substandard in that day and age.
Oh, yeah,
it's just true.
Absolutely.
But those crimes were committed, I didn't know this when I was looking through it, on Catholic saints' days, at least those five canonical, and there's radical religious conspiracies, which we'll talk about some of the different ideas behind some of these killings. But I didn't know that. Did you guys know
I
think there's a fair amount of saints' days, so that could have been coincidental. Yeah. But some people point to the fact that, like, this there's something to this. There's something, there's a pattern there. So, which I think is very interesting.
Right.
I wanted to point out something interesting. They had those lodging houses where you had to pay for the beds, right? Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about how they're like, yeah, it was a night by night thing. But there was so much drunkenness and fighting and all that, the crime and the violence. I did not know this either. This is also something I learned in all this, is the term hangover. Did you guys see this at all?
No.
So they had ropes that they would hang outside for people when they got drunk. They would literally hang over them until morning when they had sobered up. Or sometimes they would put them in jail to sober up if they were that drunk. But if they were drunk just to the point of where they were just needing some time out, they would fall over these ropes. I had no idea. Did you know anything about
that?
So
there you go.
Just hang out.
So they the hangover.
They showed people on these ropes hanging over them. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, so you saw like illustrations?
I saw illustrations.
I'll have to look that up.
And they said, I thought that was really, really, it's weird, but that's where the term hangover comes over.
Well, thank you for telling us how that all started.
See, I'm here to make ourselves smarter.
Great movies, by the way.
Smarter,
especially
right?
The first one, Hangover.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That is funny. That's interesting and funny. And
we wouldn't have those movies without it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The interesting thing with Jack the Ripper is just so many conspiracies you can come up with. Just because, I mean, there is no bookend to it. He was never caught, never identified. So, like, I mean, sometimes I go in the direction of, what if this was like a secret society type doings?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think you've got to throw everything on the table, really.
When you bring up the secret societies.
Yeah, Sean Deere's perk up.
Somebody say secret societies?
What? What's that?
There is I thought we'll talk about that some too more if we want to, that there is one of the, because I thought we'd talk about the victims too, you know, kind of go by them.
Yeah.
And then also the suspects. With the suspects, Prince Albert was one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some theories, which, of course, then there's From Hell, the movie, which that leads into this, and there's some Hollywood there.
Mm-hmm.
But they really did suspect him as being potentially Jack the Ripper. So Jack the Ripper, through all the clues that they got, basically, they did find that he seemed to be someone who was intelligent and someone of an upper or higher class. And obviously somebody we talked about being maybe a medical doctor or having medical knowledge. they talked with Prince Albert. Supposedly, they proved that he was not in the area during these murders, that he was out of the city. That could also be a conspiracy that, you know, how do you know that he really wasn't? They could have, you know, they suppose that the royal family kept very
they could have covered
close
it
account. Absolutely. Yeah. Close accounts on each of its members, even back then, what they were doing and who they were doing with and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So they showed that he was would not have been part of that. However, there's all kind of theories that he developed syphilis, and then they said, well, there was never any proof that he developed it. And if he developed syphilis and died, that could have been why the murder stopped, right? The other thing is that they say that why there was five prostitutes is maybe one of those prostitutes was going to tell what they knew or go to the police. Again, I'm not sure who would listen to a prostitute at that time, but they
no one.
They took out some people that would have talked or would give information on the royal family, because that whole, can you imagine the royal family has, I mean, they've come up against conspiracies and they've, I mean, still to this day, there's all kind of,
it hasn't stopped.
Yeah. So, but it's been throughout their history. Let's be honest. So this is one of those like, oh, we'll take care of that. Don't worry about that.
But no one would have listened to her back, especially in 1888.
No,
nobody would. I mean,
so that's
it. Wouldn't listen to her now.
That's a pretty wild theory, but maybe. it's an interesting theory.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it is.
That
it
this
is.
Was
it
to sh- to hush hush.
Sure,
you know any kind yeah, of information.
I found, I found another theory of a killer's identity, ranging from the famous Victorian painter Walter Sickert to a Polish immigrant, and even the grandson of the Queen Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's
William Sickert.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or Walter Sickert.
Walter.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's, you know, put everybody's name on a dartboard and throw a dart. See which one you want.
Well, there were as many as 500 suspects that got whittled down to 100. Then there's, nowadays it's about five. And with about two of them being medical doctors. Then there's some wild theories that are outliers that, you know, we'll probably talk about as well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they do. They go from...
I found another statement.
What?
I found a site with 25 interesting facts of Jack the Ripper. There were a number of suspects, but only three remain under suspicion. Aaron Kaczynski was a Polish immigrant.
Uh-huh.
Montague John Druitt.
Yep.
A barrister, and a Michael Ostrog, a Russian doctor, who were all maniacs and hated prostitutes.
See,
there you go.
Each one of them, if you look over, I watch so many different videos on these, and it gets so in-depth with who the suspects were, who the victims were, and going into it. And each one of the suspects had just a little bit of, oh, that could have been him. Or, oh, they were in that area that time. Or, oh, they frequented in that area. Or they were out late at nights a lot, you know. And it just, it was tantalizing. But there's so many different ones with so many, you know, backstories that could have been it. Or, and then they had alibis. So that wouldn't have been them. So it's really interesting. Like, one of my favorites is Lewis Carroll. And he's the one that wrote Alice in Wonderland, right? And they said that he had anagrams in his writings that made him look like the killer. And that was the only reason they thought it was Lewis Carroll. That, and they thought maybe he had suspicions that he was a pedophile. Well, pedophile and prostitution, those are, you know, it can be the same thing, but there's, mm-hmm. that's not necessarily just because you're a pedophile. And I'm not saying that Lewis Carroll was a pedophile, but they were just, there are some accusations that he was, but that's, he was cleared later. It's because it's like, really, is that the only thing that they're showing, is that there were some anagrams in his books. So those are, they pointed fingers at everybody.
I like Francis Tumblety.
Tumblety.
I had heard him on another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The actual episode was on him only.
Oh, okay.
And why this? It was an author that was being interviewed by the by the podcaster, and his book is geared towards why he is
the Ripper. Jack,
yeah, the Ripper. Because he was in England, you know, in 1883 to, you know, whatever, and during 1888. He had medical, I think he was a doctor or had medical knowledge, but he's known as a medical quack if you look at his occupation. He was born in St. Louis, mm. Missouri. Anyway, but he had traveled to London, and he was a suspect. He had gotten arrested for indecency, all kinds of stuff, you know, and just, but anyway, he was always in that area. And anyway, I that one's a very intriguing one. Francis Tumble.
You guys come across how the name Jack the Ripper was brought about?
I did. You tell it.
Cause yeah,
it, well, it was from a written note from the killer. And that's, I guess, how he claimed himself.
You know how usually, like, serial killers, they get their names from, like, from the press, you know. And so that, but he
self-named himself.
That's kind of, I think it's kind of cool.
I think it's interesting.
Poor, terrible guy.
going back to the royal Prince Albert thing, where they talked about the silencing the prostitutes, is that he had an alleged relationship with a Catholic woman who was named Annie Crook. And they had a child together, and that was why they were trying to keep that silenced. And they say that the Freemason / secret society type involvement comes into there, where they were like, we'll take care of this real quick. And that's why that included the Catholic holidays. So, but that's, again, they say, oh, that never really happened. But did it? Did it not? So it came in there. I think that the interesting thing is that the police were not well regarded back then, and they didn't have high tech anything.
They didn't have
forensics.
Well, they have a baton.
They had a baton.
And a whistle.
Oh yeah, a whistle and a baton.
Murder.
There you go. They're going to get a lot of bad guys.
And they had so
going to beat them with.
So people were people were scared, at least in that area, but other people were like fascinated. You know, the rest of London was like, oh, who's going to be next? You know, so people became fixated. This was kind of that first big crime spree that everybody wanted, you know. So the journalists and the media were like glommed onto it. There are suspicions, and I think rightfully so, hundreds of letters were sent in to the police. A couple of them they think were legitimately Jack the Ripper, but a lot of them they think that was just random people wanting to keep things going.
Oh yeah.
And others they think were the journalists and
now.
The media.
Exactly. They want to be part of the story.
Fanning those flames and saying, yeah, he's still out there. He's still going to kill.
Or I'm the Ripper, and it's,
And it really wasn't.
That's they didn't have a whole lot of, like I said, a whistle and a baton. That's about it.
They said even photography was just coming up, and you know, like crime scene photography was coming on the scene.
Yeah,
and
sure.
They do have scenes of these bodies, and some the mutilations of some of them are horrible. And then or sketches, they have police sketches of them as well, which
are also
horrible.
I've seen the real photographs. Pretty brutal.
The where that the term leather apron comes in, which we were talking about before the podcast, is John Pizer or Pischer. Was a Polish Jew who worked as a bootmaker in Whitechapel. In the early days of Whitechapel murders, many locals suspected that the quote-unquote leather apron was the killer, which was picked up by the press. And Pfizer was known as the leather apron. He had a prior conviction for stabbing offense, and Police Sergeant William Thick apparently believed that he had committed a string of minor assaults on prostitutes. After the murders of Mary Ann Nichols and Annie Chapman in late August and early September, Thick arrested Pfizer on the 10th of September, even though the investigating inspector reported that there is no evidence whatsoever against him. But he did. He said things like that he would take them out. You know, some of these prostitutes. He verbally threatened them. And so it's like, but then they cleared him too. So I don't know. Oh, they did say that that Thick he later on had to step down after all this because he was so disgraced. That's how bad the police handled this, that they, you know, that the people had no faith in the police at that time. And it's pretty sad, you know, because it was, you know, Scotland Yard right now. I mean, we think about them throughout history as being very revered, but at that time they were not. And people did not have faith that they were going to catch this guy.
I think, I don't know when the first time I knew about Jack the Ripper. I was pretty young. I mean, I think like we're talking about, I think everybody pretty much knows of Jack the Ripper. I was definitely in grade school.
Yeah, I would say grade school. Yeah,
easy.
Some, I'm not sure when, but this particular story, this legendary guy. I mean, it's a real dude in real time. Just has always fascinated me. And I'm. It's too bad that they. Like, would you want it? Would you want it to be solved? Like, if we knew, right? Like, we were doing our podcast, and we were, you know, we're just working through the story, and then we're like, and here, you know, of course.
Here's the killer.
Yeah,
I kind of would and kind of wouldn't. I think it's kind
of
nice to have it.
Part of the lore is not knowing who it is.
But then it's like, I want to know. Yeah, I don't know.
But, I mean, for the victims, and certainly they have family still.
Yeah.
All these years later, but, I mean, you know, I believe in justice, and mm-hmm. they deserve to have some sort of justice and, a, you know, somewhere to point blame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. what I, yeah, you said it perfectly. Yeah. I, it's kind of like, oh, it's kind of nice not to know, but I do want to know yeah. just because I want it. Yeah. But then, yeah.
It's like a flip
but then
of the
for
coin.
The families, I know that, yeah. Even how many generations down,
mm-hmm.
you know. Can you imagine having, like, your ancestor was one of the murdered victims or, yeah. or lived in London around that time? Even,
yeah, like a great-great-aunt or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's kind of like H.H. Holmes.
yeah. Well, okay.
Now, but she has his fingers in
I was going to mention that we have two other podcasts that we're not going to go in some of those details, but just to remind you, H.H. Holmes, which go check out our two-part, it was, what, 9 and 10 episodes that we did cover a little bit of Jack the Ripper. I think it was the second part.
It was, 9 and 10.
That we talked about that. And then, I don't know if you guys remember this, but Aleister Crowley, I was thinking back on this, I was like, when else did we talk about Jack the Ripper? Mm-hmm. Aleister Crowley, remember when we covered him?
Well, yeah, I don't remember.
I want to say episode 30-something, 31 or something.
We talked about Jack the Ripper?
We did. You know why? This came to me. So Aleister Crowley, remember that this was totally out of Aleister's mind, I'm sure. But remember the girl, the maid, when he was young, he was like 17 or whatever.
Yeah.
He basically had relations with the maid, his mother's maid, right. and disgraced her so much that she became the first victim of Jack the Ripper.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yes. Okay.
Again,
wow.
I'm not so positive that was absolutely true, but it was funny. So we've mentioned him a couple times. So those are... Go back and listen to Aleister Crowley.
I do remember that. Only for
entertainment value.
I don't think it's Aleister Crowley.
I don't either.
Yeah, I found this other little memento. Mm-hmm. All his murders took place on weekends or early in the morning, which suggests he had a normal job during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, I have heard that. Because they're trying to piece everything they can.
Yeah, just, anything I mean, and everything.
With timeline, yeah.
Who, where, when...
And you think about like back then trying to do police detective work with not
you might as well put a blindfold on and tie one arm behind your back, right?
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Well, I don't think too many people were willing to talk either, even if they did witness something.
Can you imagine the chance you're taking?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know who it was. I mean, you don't know. He could be a store owner that's writing. I mean... And I would imagine word got around pretty quick around that area, you know, with all the like we were talking about.
Well, in that area, I'm sure they didn't have that great of a relationship with police officers either.
No, they probably didn't trust them. Yeah. And
absolutely police, not, right?
No.
There it's was, as far as the victims go, so the Whitechapel murders are a series of the unsolved killings committed in and around the impoverished area that we talked about, East End. Many researchers believe that at least 5 of the murders were committed by an individual that we're talking about, Jack the Ripper, the canonical 5. So Mary Ann Nichols, Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, Catherine Eddowes, and Mary Jane Kelly make up the canonical 5. But some historians claim that the true number of Jack the Ripper victims is even higher. So we've talked about maybe being even 11. Martha Tobram is another one. They said also she's not one of the canonical 5. Martha Tobram was considered to be connected to the Jack the Ripper murders for a long time due to her identity and nature of her murder. She was found on the 7th of August in 1888 on a landing in George Yard. Martha had 39 separate stab wounds inflicted with 2 different weapons. The treatment matched that of other victims of Jack the Ripper's bodies, as well as her position as a prostitute of Whitechapel initially led to her death, appearing to be connected to the Jack the Ripper murders. However, a later discovery in the mid-20th century resulted in general consensus that she was unlikely to be the first Jack the Ripper victim. They said other murders that looked like Jack the Ripper were supposedly done by gangs, because they said a lot of the prostitutes basically were run or overseen by gang members and gangs, and they would fight over them or they would threaten them. You know, and if there was a prostitute killed, it was the gangs. So they said a lot of times, the reason that they knew these 5 were one person is that if it was 2, normally you would know that it was 2, or that one gang would rat out another gang and tell them, okay, it was these guys. And so that's how the police started to really carve out these 5 are definitely this one individual.
Yeah, and they were pretty much set apart.
Yeah. Well, they're close. in proximity and a lot of the same mutilations.
Yeah.
Whereas all the other murders around that same time were, I mean, yeah, there were stabbings and everything else, but they weren't presented the way these five women were.
Was one lady that she actually survived her attacking and said that it was two guys that had come after her and attacked her. And then she later died. So there was, you know, that kind of thing too. So you can't, you know, even though some of the murders might look like it, there were actual stories that show that it wasn't just one person. That, 'cause that's another theory, is how do we know that this wasn't more than one person? How do we know that
that possibly two people.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it was. The stealth happened. Yeah. It was allowed, you know, able to take place.
Yeah.
But that's not as
hid
fun
in the shadows.
That's not as much fun.
yeah, but it gets back to secret society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. When you said that first one, possibly, if it was the first killing, was August 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give the listeners, as far as the five that we know of, Marianne Nichols was found August 31st. Mm-hmm. Then Annie Chapman, probably the most famous of the five, I would imagine, was found September 8th. Then Elizabeth Stride found September 30th. Uh-huh. Catherine Eddowes found September 30th, so two on the same day, and then Mary Jane Kelly, or at least, yeah, found on the same day.
And they were all in their 40s, except for Mary Jane was 25.
Right, yes, mm-hmm. And Mary Jane Kelly found November 9th. Very close together. And then the two were found on the same day.
And a lot of them, they were alcoholics, they were prostitutes, mm-hmm. A lot of them, they were...
Sad life.
Yeah, exactly. Very sad. So, and some of... some of them had been asked, you know, like, oh, don't go out again, you know, and they were like,
I got to survive.
It's what we do, right. You know, and then to their avail, they were killed. Or they had been held in prison because they were so drunk, and then they were let out and later killed. I mean, that kind of thing happened too.
Yeah.
And like I said, the way that some of them were murdered is just horrific, the way that it was carried out. Like faces mutilated, internal organs completely removed,
missing organs,
or the intestines thrown over the left shoulder. The female parts were basically just removed and cut out in one swift move. Let's call it that way. Again, that seems like somebody that would have medical knowledge or understanding that could do something.
Because if
you don't,
you know how long that's going to take.
Yeah.
To do something like that.
Yeah. You have to know what you're doing or it's going to take a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't do it, period. I mean, kill somebody like that. But I'm just saying, just a random, murderer.
They assumed that it would take it at least 5 minutes.
Mutilate the body. I mean, he mutilated him, but in
the quote-unquote mutilation and dissection would have taken at least 5 minutes to get some of those organs.
That's
out.
That's why, they say mutilate, which
female genitalia. Yeah,
but I call it dissection. I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah,
more or less of a precise dissection instead of just it ended up being mutilated, but not just butchered. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Butchered is just like hacking and it's more precise.
The two women on the same night. That was the one where the first woman, Stride, got her throat slit, and then that was the only
different
thing that happened to her. She wasn't mutilated.
Right.
So the second one was him finishing a job on someone else.
Yeah. Oh, man. Terrible. And, you know, it is sad to think, like, knowing what's going on, that's, like you said, it's just kind of what they did. That's how they had to survive. They didn't have any other job lined up or occupation to make ends meet or to get their bed for the night.
And you're on the streets. So unless you make money, you don't have a roof over your head. You're out in the street. So, I mean, you're not protected either way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very sad life.
Yeah.
I mean, even like today, it's just a sad life.
I think it's interesting that this the whole Jack the Ripper storyline, and like you said, folklore is what it's turned into. There are the people that try to figure out who it is are called Ripperologists.
Yeah.
Yep. And that is a term, that is a real term. And the funny thing is they
take it serious. I mean, this is like their job.
Oh, yeah.
But back then, they really did target like the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. You know, they were seen as, the Jewish would have done this. This is a Jewish crime. One of the crime scenes, actually, some of the evidence was left underneath some anti-Semitic you know, calligraphy that they were told, the police were told to wash it away because it was, it incriminated, they thought it would cause some race riots, basically. And so it's scary. They went out looking for the usual suspects, though, you know, like who these dark, seedy characters that normally would be the killers. Now, there's a difference between I got in a bar fight, you know, and I got angry at somebody and I killed them. And one killing to this whole idea of serial killers. And that's what...
That's premeditated.
Well, we talked about, like, nowadays, we know, back then they didn't. Serial killers, wasn't a this started, they say that there's crime and killing before Jack the Ripper looked different than after Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper was really the first time we were like, oh my gosh, somebody's killing for fun, it looks like. You know, and I don't even know that they
for some specific reason.
For a specific reason, exactly. And they said, nowadays we know that serial killers normally have a higher IQ. They come from all different class groups. Good examples are Ted Bundy, that Herb Bauermeister, who we just talked about.
Oh, yeah, both of those guys, very intelligent.
You know what I mean? And nobody would suspect them, right?
And they looked like average normal. They weren't creepy looking. Ted Bundy was a, you know, attractive guy. And Herb, I mean, Herb I mean, he's owning a store. Like, he's a, what was that, Safe Mart, something, you know, and he's just owning. He's just a businessman. He's a father two or three and married. Mm-hmm. I mean. He's not like some creepy looking guy that has nothing going for him.
For whatever weird reason, they're able to turn it on and off too. They get around.
That's the crazy.
The
thing.
Public and they right. they act normal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no suspicion from them.
Yeah, so they can run a business. They can have a family.
I think that's
can,
where the mm-hmm. high intellect comes. Is they know when and when not to.
Yeah.
Go crazy.
Yeah, like John Wayne Gacy, the Killer Clown. He ran a home or a construction or what was it, a home improvement business or something like that. He did painting and stuff.
And clowning around as a part-time job.
He was a member of like the Democratic committee or something.
So nobody would have suspected him, right?
No. No, I mean, I'm just saying like he was in politics, you know, he married, had kids. I mean, well, and the one that is the BTK, I was he's the one that really throws me for a loop because that guy, scout leader, like he was a scout leader. He was a church deacon.
Yeah,
he worked. He had two kids, a wife. You look at that guy, and if you told me he was a serial killer, there's no way.
Nobody would believe.
Just
right.
the most kind of nerdy looking, just goofy. He killed at least a dozen, I think, or something like that in Wichita. Back in the 70s and 80s, that's the one that does throw me. I'm like, wow.
Getting into the minds of these serial killers it's scary.
He wasn't smart, though, by the way. He was an idiot.
Yeah, right.
He really was.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. The high IQ is not a necessity, but like I said.
Ted Bundy, yes, he was.
Yeah, back then, like I said, they would not have been looking for an aristocrat, certainly not a royal family member. Mm-mm. That's not where they would have gone.
No.
They were just looking for the seedy characters that,
that's not right
out there. You know,
they would have never guessed to think maybe a medical doctor or somebody that, or a medical student even maybe,
Now this would have surprised, they show that like the police that came on these scenes were just like disgusted, shocked.
Can you imagine?
You know what I mean? Like, what is that? Like, what do we have here? Is this a monster? I mean, it was a monster.
An unusual scene for them. I mean, it's one thing for the cop to come up to a stabbing or something like that, but. When someone's completely mutilated and innards
displayed
and that's a rough scene.
That's a rough, the old whistle's going to be blown.
You don't see that every day.
There was a Charles Allen Lechmere, and he was a local meat cart driver, and his route went along where, just by chance, that all the killings happened. So, and he was one that found one of the victims, and he was like, oh my gosh. So, there was also like, but like this meat cart guy's not going to do this, but it's just, it was such a, it was an area that just like regular day, day-to-day operations happened, a meat cart driver going around, so you, it makes you think, was Jack the Ripper, did he know how some of these people operated
routines,
how to hide, where to hide, who might be in this area
at such
a time. I watched this lady. She's going to be around here around this time of the night.
Yeah.
1 o'clock, 2 o'clock,
Know when the police officers were doing their rounds and when they're going to be here at this specific time. And then,
And they say that some of these murders were so close to like him being found or whoever it was, right. Mm-hmm. Being caught. Like it couldn't have been just a few seconds, so it's really close, like history would be so much different if he would have been caught up with on the first murder too, you know, like, so, and they say that, and that's why, like, when he just slit the throat and is like, I didn't get enough, you know, so I'm going to go do another one within the next, you know, less than an hour, half hour.
September 30th. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is, it's sick beyond measure.
I asked,
but it's interesting.
Yeah, I asked my wife if, she wanted to see the if she had ever seen the pictures, and she said no. And I said, "Do you want to see them?" She's like, "No."
Yeah, no.
I said, I wasn't trying to like gross her out. I was just like, "This is, yeah." And I actually, it wasn't maybe about a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. I actually hadn't seen the pictures until just a couple years ago, and it was actually worse than I thought. You hear about it, but then when you look at it, it's pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty tough, and you know that's a human life that, yeah. What did we say? You said like they're all in their 40s except the 25-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still pretty young. I mean, I don't care if it's an 80-year-old. Still terrible.
Yeah,
but
right. There's definitely a targeted group, like I said, prostitutes, certain ages. It just, yeah.
You knew they're out there. I mean.
Struggling, you know, alcoholics. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, desperation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying desperation caused them to be out there for him to have the access. Yeah.
Right.
Sad. So I think we ought to just wrap up part one.
This is a good foundation.
We'll take a break.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I know there was a couple things I'm like, ooh, we're on part two. I'm going to go to that.
I've got.
Yeah. Oh, there's tons more, though. Yeah.
No, this is a very fascinating story, and it has been, like I said.
Been for ages.
Man, yeah. And I don't see it really being solved anytime soon.
No.
It's.
Well, because they didn't know anything about crime scene preservation or nothing back then, so it's really hard. I mean, we have DNA stuff now, but it's really hard to get a clean sample of anything.
Protocols
from back then.
And even now they botch things up. And JonBenet Ramsey, family and friends were coming in, and you know, and the police didn't keep anybody. That was just in the 90s.
Yeah,
and, you know, it wasn't that long ago, and they're jacking that up. So can you imagine? Jacking that up.
The lead. Yeah, right. Pun intended.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So 100 and whatever, 30 years, 40 years ago.
Right.
Still don't have a good process.
No.
It goes back to good leadership, right? Like, so, I mean, we see it in Hollywood all the time, but like, I'm in charge here, and this is, we're going to follow by the book, you know. Well, back then, they didn't have the book, you know. They were just trying to keep, you know, basically, they were probably already.
Oh, what's this over here? Oh, that's a finger. Oh, let me look at that.
They were on the precipice of just trying to prevent riots, you know.
And one guy, hey, did you give me the finger? No, I have a finger.
Yeah, oh, I have the finger.
Put that in your pocket.
Yeah.
We don't want to lose that.
Yeah. He goes to put his, oh, no, wait a minute.
Hey, whoa, that's on my cigar.
Yeah.
This thing won't light.
They weren't.
There's a nail in it.
Yeah. They weren't. I always say, like, somebody points at me. I'm like, hey, don't point that at me. It's got a nail in it. I don't know. So let's end part one.
Okay.
As far as that, Mr. Sean, what do we got?
We have a sponsor, which I am so excited about. So this is where we're going. Before we go into the middle-aged moment, we have somebody to actually sponsor it. And it's Dr. Brian Jackson.
The second one.
It is. He did our first one. It's Plainfield Family Chiropractic. I said this at the last one, and I'm going to say it again, that I do. I owe my life to him because he really did change my life. He helped me out in a really dark time of my life, helped me get over my migraine hump, and being able to get me back to helping people. And honestly, this is why I'm here. I mean, there's a lot of people that have helped me to get where I'm at, but he helped me get back on my feet, and he keeps me straightened out, right? I would make that joke, you know.
He
set me straight.
I think there's another doctor that needs to straighten out.
Well, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. they'll remain in the shadows, right?
Yeah. Speaking of remaining in the shadows, yeah.
So you can get a hold of Dr. Jackson and his team at www.plainfieldfamilychiropractic.com. They treat migraines, back pain, and in 2022, this year, they'll be offering treatment for neuropathy. They are located at 1729 East Main Street in Plainfield, 46168, by the way. And you can reach them. Their number is 317-838-8839. Do yourself a favor. Go see Dr. Jackson. Go see his wonderful staff. They are wonderful. I won't name them. I won't embarrass them, but they are wonderful girls. So,
yeah.
And like I said, I can't thank him enough. And it is my honor to have him here as a sponsor for this middle-aged moment.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Jackson.
Definitely. Thank you.
For sponsoring. Yeah.
So I made it a little easier last time. I was trying to like complicate things and keep, you know, and I'm like, oh crap, I can't figure it. I can't find it out. So we had to do a little splotching. This time we're not going to have to do any editing, right? So Dr. Jackson.
We never do editing. I mean,
never.
We nail it first time, every time.
Right. No editing involved. I had a couple different ideas for this one, and I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to be funny with some of the stuff we're talking about. We're talking about a lot of dying and death, you know, with Jack the Ripper. But Tim McGraw came on. I hadn't heard this song in years the other morning, and it actually brought tears to my eyes, and I thought, this is perfect. I'm going to read this. So I actually pulled it up as soon as I got to work, and it's Tim McGraw, Live Like You Were Dying. So I want to read these lyrics, and I think this is really important for all of us to remember right now, so... and I'm going to try not to sing it because it's so hard not to sing it. But it says, he said, I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays and talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. I loved deeper. I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. And he said, someday, I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't. I became a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden, going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went three times that year I lost my dad. That made me cry. Well, I finally read the good book, and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving, and I went Rocky Mountain climbing, and I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu, and I loved deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. And he said, someday, I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying, like tomorrow was a gift, and you've got eternity to think about what you do with it. What could you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? And then it goes back into the chorus, of course. Cool. So, that hit me a little bit.
I'm not a big Tim McGraw fan, but I love that song.
Yes. And I saw him live back in, the early 2000s, I think, is when I saw him in Faith Hill. And it was actually a really good show. And that was when this song was very popular. And it does. It hits you. But I don't hear it very often anymore. Mm. And it just was like at the right time, certain things on my mind. And I had a little bit of a release. I don't cry much, but that song gets me every time. And I thought, gosh, that's my middle-aged moment. So, and again, I thought, I'm not trying to be funny with the Live Like You're Dying, because people did legitimately with this Jack the Ripper, people really mm-hmm. did die. And we are talking about human lives here, which is, I take great humility and respect for. But I think this is a great song to remember. You don't know when your last day is, mm-hmm. right? Like I'm just excited when we get together every time we do this. But I also understand that this is a precious life, and I don't know how many more times we're going to get to do this. Let's hope for another 20, 30 years. But I don't want to take for granted, you know, try to be the best I can and do the best I can. Yeah. So, I thought this would be a wonderful way. Thank you, Dr. Jackson, like I said, and team for sponsoring this moment and bringing this all together, bringing some light on this very, very dark subject.
I am not a country music fan. I like a little bit of it. And I couldn't tell
pretty
you
much there with you.
Tim McGraw. You know, I know a couple of the Faith Hill songs when she was, you know, popular in the 90s. But I do know that song.
It's hard not to know that one, right?
I do know that one. Mm-hmm. About riding the bull named Fu Manchu.
You're right, exactly. Woo!
Yeah, no, his dad was Tug McGraw.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Pitched for the Phillies in the 70s and 80s. Yeah. Here's my little baseball. I had to insert baseball in there. Yeah. Well, thanks. That was good.
No problem.
That was good.
That's a good one.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
So how about the post-topic announcements?
Post-topic announcements are making sure that you know how to get in contact with us. Our email address is makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. So ideas for the show, how we're doing, anything that you want to hear about, just saying hi. Tell us hello.
How's it going?
How's it going, people?
So, how you doing?
It's a way to connect. Obviously, merchandise. That's what Nicole found out, right? That's how you reach out and touch someone appropriately.
Keep it clean.
But tell us what you want for merchandise, right? You can also, we will always want to tell you how to find us on Instagram, Facebook, which is Middle Age and Creeped Out, on both of those. And there's groups you can join. And now we're TikTokers, so you can find us on TikTok. And that is TikTok. Gosh darn it. TikTok, whatever. TikTok is what I need for breath freshener, right? And that's at Mako Podcasts, right, for TikTokers. We also have Tuesday Terrors every Tuesday. We've been, Todd and I have been co-sharing back and forth, right?
Yeah, it's fun.
Doing little, we have to, they're less than 3 minutes, so they're just little short stories, and then we always have a little love and appreciation and how to contact us and connect with us.
Right? I'm going
to
say this, and it's probably not relevant to our listeners. I mean, maybe it did. I mean, we do have listeners, a lot of them that do follow us on social media. But I haven't had any issues with the listeners so far, other than so two random people on Instagram. Remember, I told you, Sean. That
you did.
Okay, so we had a. I love everybody. I really don't, but I mean, I love. But
I love it. Quote unquote, everyone.
Okay, so I just want to say this.
Hey, God made some of us difficult. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, and I know He loves all everybody. They are meant to be short stories.
Are we talking about those bullies?
Yeah, and they're turning me into I'm going to bully them. I have gotten two people, random people. I don't know who they are. They don't follow us on Facebook. I don't think they listen. If they do, thank you. But they're like, how come you're not finishing the story? How come, you know, comments of not like, hey, those are really cool. But hey, how about finishing it? Or, oh, those are really neat. But no, they just go, finish the story. How come you're not telling us
it's
how it ends?
Called a cliffhanger.
they're called Tuesday Terror. I mean, they're meant to be 3 minute videos because TikTok limits you to 3 minutes.
Right.
And we put them on Facebook and Instagram. When I have read what two or three, and I've written three of my own.
Mm-hmm.
The fun part is that this isn't supposed to be a full movie here.
I'm gonna tell you,
and I think part of the fun is to leave it a little bit open ended. Or then you come up with a conclusion on how you think it ended. These people are literally messaging me on Instagram mad because...
You're not continuing the story.
Not continue. Yeah, they want literally an hour and a half of some novel. Or they want some hour and a half video. I'm like, it's a short story. We only have a limited time. And Sean, I didn't tell you, you got your first one. So this guy
did. I really?
Yeah.
No. You knew it was going to
happen. I can't remember which one it was, but he goes. All it was finish the story. I go. I told you. I'm going to tell you as I had to tell someone else. They are short stories. We have limited time to do these videos. They're not made to be like hour and a half movies. So I never heard back. But the one woman, we went back and forth. I'm like, I'm done. I can't handle it. So listeners, please understand if you are one that watches these videos on however TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram,
they're made for TikTok
and I like writing stories that they're not quite ended, or they might be. That's it. That's all I got for you, man.
Take it or leave it.
And we got
it. Just for entertainment.
I just had to say that. I was like, are you serious? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, yeah, you got your first. Yeah.
That's funny.
Finish the story.
Maybe that's a terror for them. He didn't finish it.
They're screaming in their room, their house.
I want to say that I would think it's really cool been writing your own. And that I think that
takes
a lot of...
I'm not a writer, but...
But they're good.
Yeah. I'm just demented enough to come up with something that's kind of creepy, and then I
figure you've had enough exposures that you know.
It's fun, though. It's actually fun coming up with those. So, yeah. So
that's cool. I think it's awesome.
I just had to say that just to...
No, it's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
I like it. I think it's good. From then on, I'm just going to leave a little space for after I say Tuesday Terror. I'm going to go, and Todd has something to say about that.
It's a short. Yeah.
Here comes...
I'm gonna
step
have
up
Nate
on the box.
I'm going to pre-record that, and then you can just hit it. It's a short story. Yeah. So I have to ramble again.
Hit it. Na, 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 na,
okay, we should... Okay.
Okay. All right. Cut. All right. The last thing I want to tell you is different ways you can listen, all kinds. Whatever your favorite listening platform is, go out there and listen to us. We are out there loving every minute of it. So
we there.
We there.
It's a lover boy. Loving every minute of it.
Sorry. I know. I set that up, didn't I?
You did.
We're made of song. Songs are the soul's sustenance.
Well, before this gets any worse, Nate, what do we have?
Oh, we're having a ripping good time right now, but we'll finish it on episode two. Or segment two, whatever it is.
We're ripe for the ripping.
Yeah. That is a wrap.
That's a wrap. Like, thank you, sir. We needed it bad. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening, as always. And that was episode 47 on Jack the Ripper, part one. And until next time, creepies, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.